The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Well, we are once again diving into this whole idea of the rising temperature around us. It's a little easier to think of being a pot in a boiling kettle this morning because it's a little bit warm in here. So I was already thinking, man, I think I'm reaching my boiling point. But this morning, the title of my message is Maintaining Core Temperature. And I thought a lot about this particular topic this week. I was driving somewhere with my wife. Actually, I was gone all this week on a conference, and on the way back, we were talking, and I brought up the subject. I don't usually bring up subjects like this, okay? So usually if it has anything to do with, like, beauty care or cooking, I kind of stay away from it because I don't know a whole lot about those subjects. So I began to ask my wife questions. I said, honey, what's that thermometer that you stick in meat and it tells you the temperature at the center of the roast or turkey? And she said, oh, it's called the meat thermometer. Like, maybe this cooking stuff isn't as complicated as I thought. So I'm like, okay, well, what's that temperature that's, like, right at the core of the meat or the you know, turkey or something? She's like, the core temperature. Like, man, this stuff is easy. Yeah, I'd get it figured out in a hurry if I was in the kitchen. So I started thinking about the core temperature, how the core temperature in a person, in a human being or in an animal, the desire for the body, the natural desire, is to maintain that core temperature at a certain degree or between certain degrees. And it's fascinating, the system that's actually involved in that. It's called thermoregulation. And basically what happens is your body has all these mechanisms that keeps your body warm when the temperature's colder and cold when the temperature's warmer. Here in the Imperial Valley, we're pretty familiar with one of those mechanisms, sweating. Yeah. In dogs, panting is a thermoregulation. we talked about this, maybe a couple months ago. We talked about goosebumps. If you were here that Sunday, you learned that goosebumps are a thermoregulation. It's a natural thing your body does to trap heat. The muscles around your pores tighten up, causing your hair to stand up on end and the little bumps that you see. And that's, we call it goosebumps, and we think of it as, oh, you know, when that beautiful girl or attractive guy comes in the room, I get goosebumps. Or maybe just the temperature of the room is a little too cool or something. But anyway, it's a natural mechanism your body has to trap in heat. What's another? Thermoregulation. Another thing is blood flows to areas of your body that are too cold, and so your body tries to get blood flowing there to warm it up. Also, your body will bring more blood to the surface when it's hot to try to cool that blood that's in the capillaries. And so that's why when you are doing a lot of activity, you get kind of flushed, your face gets a little bit red. So it's a pretty fascinating model of what your body does in order to maintain your core temperature. So a lot goes into it. You don't even realize it's happening, but yet it is happening. So while we're sitting there and our bodies are just making those adjustments, you know, our sweat's evaporating, it's cooling down our body, we don't realize what's happening. And I think in the spiritual sense, this is something that actually has to be very intentional. It has to be something that's very purposeful. Unfortunately, your spiritual core temperature is something that needs to be maintained. It's not a natural thing for you to just maintain a certain spiritual temperature. And we're speaking to things in this temperature terms, obviously, because of our series, but what I mean when I say maintaining that spiritual temperature is maintaining right with God, maintaining in your spiritual walk, your life with God, maintaining a close relationship with Him. And so we're going to refer to that this morning for sake of our series as maintaining our core temperature. So we're looking at Psalm 27, and I love the Psalms. You have to, if you have not spent any time in the Psalms, you just have to do that. As a matter of fact, I think it's a travesty if you don't spend some time in the Psalms. I used to have a devotional where I would spend a little bit of time in the Psalms each day, and then I would spend some time in Proverbs, and then I would read, you know, wherever it was that I wanted to read in the Bible. So many fascinating things there. I looked up the word praise in the Psalms, and this word just occurs so many times. I mean, literally, there were hundreds and hundreds of references, and I thought to myself, wow, if there's one message that you get from the Psalms, that is this message of praise. But I found something interesting in Psalm 27. I found that it wasn't necessarily talking about praise, although it does touch on that, but it's actually talking about maintaining that core temperature. So let's read Psalm 27, and then we'll dig in. Psalm 27, we'll start with verse 4, read down through the end of the chapter. It says, "This one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me,' and my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.' Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous." Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning expecting for you to teach us. God, we think of the whole process that happens in our life where our walk with you begins to become distant, where there's a change in the spiritual temperature in our lives. God, and this morning, God, we're here to find out what we can do to make sure that we are a constant follower of you. God, that we're connected to you in such a way that there's consistency in our lives and in our walk. Help us to see that this morning with the world around us changing and so many things going on and so many things that might threaten our relationship and our walk with you, God, I pray that you would help us be able to maintain that core temperature. God, speak to us this morning. I ask that the words I speak would be your words and not my words. Thanks, Father. We love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So looking back at verse 4, it says, "This one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple." I see something right up front in this passage that I think is key if we're going to be a people that maintain our core spiritual temperature. And the first thing I see is that we need to choose to be in God's presence. We need to choose to be in God's presence. Here's the thing. It is a literal choice that we make on a daily basis to be in God's presence. And of all the decisions that we make on a daily basis, I think this is the most important one. It's possible to be a follower of Jesus, I believe, and really not live a life in God's presence. And you think that coming to church on a Sunday or going to Bible study during the week or spending time in prayer or reading your Bible, you think that maybe that would be a time designated to be in God's presence. But do you realize that you can actually live your life in the presence of God. Now, obviously, God is everywhere. Okay, God is omnipresent, which means there's nowhere you can go where God is not going to be. God is right here with us. When you leave from this place and you go somewhere, God is going to be with you. So God is ever present. But our recognition of the presence of God, it really is a difference here. The difference is that we're living in a way that acknowledges God's presence. And that's something that takes some, you have to be very purposeful about that. That's why I say we have to be intentional about making God's presence a familiar place. Have you ever walked through a room that you knew so well, and maybe it was dimly lit or completely dark, and you could just kind of move through that room with ease? Has it happened to you before? If you're like me, there's probably a toy sitting somewhere, Thomas the Train or something, and you're trying to move across the room. When you get really familiar with your surroundings, you can move effortlessly and quickly. And I think that the more time we spend in God's presence, the more of a habit this becomes, the easier it is to navigate through life. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have roadblocks along the way. It doesn't mean that the road's not going to be rough. But it does mean that we're going to have some pretty clear direction living in the presence of God. Jesus tells his followers in John 15, verse 4, he says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." So we have some pretty heavy stuff tied to this whole idea of abiding in Jesus or remaining in him. Jesus comes right out and says, you know what? Your life is not going to produce anything of value in my eyes unless you spend time in my presence, unless you are living a life in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11 says, "You, God, will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." I find it pretty fascinating that these words are used. Look back at verse 4, what it says. It says, "Delighting in the Lord's perfections." Delighting in the Lord's perfections. There's a word here in the Hebrew, the word noam. And the word means beauty, pleasure, or pleasantness. In this particular version, it was translated perfections. In other versions, it might be translated the beauty. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord's perfections or the Lord's beauty? I believe it simply means this: a person who chooses to be in God's presence finds pleasure in him. A person who makes that literal choice to spend time in God's presence finds pleasure in him. I've actually heard people say, you know what, it's a lot of work being in God's presence. It's a lot of work, you know, reading the Bible. It's a lot of work being close to God. Yeah, it is. It is a lot of work, and you have to be intentional about it. You have to be purposeful about it. But if you've never done it on this level that we're talking about this morning, then you don't really know what it's like to experience pleasure in God's presence. Nothing matches it. Nothing can compare with spending time in God's presence. And when you reach a point where spending time in the presence of God is something that is pleasurable and something that you desire, you're not going to want anything else. The more time you spend with God, the more addicted you're going to be to his presence. But it's a choice we have to make. We choose to be in God's presence. Let's look at verse 6 for our passage. It says, "At his sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music." And if you read through the Psalms, you really get a sense. Now, maybe it's partially because David was a musician, but I think that more so than the fact that David was into music, I think David was saying that God uses music and he uses songs in our lives to connect with us in a way that nothing else does. And so the second thing I want you to take with you is express your praise to God. If we're going to maintain that core temperature, we need to express praise to God. And that may look differently to you than it does to me. Some of us, our emotions are a little more on the surface. Some of us are a little more laid back and calm. But whatever that looks like to you, whatever that means to you, to express your praise to God, it sounds to me like God is saying, I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to express your praise. And that's why I say a regular habit of worship is vital to the health and strength of your relationship with God. I've heard people say, you know what, I don't need to go to church. I got God, it's just me and God. You know, I can be in my living room and I could, you know, be there with God. I don't need to go to church. But I tell you what, there's nothing else like spending time together in corporate worship before God. There's nothing like joining in and singing with those around you. Joining in with music and with words to express your praise with God. As a family, as a corporate body, I believe nothing else compares to that. And as a matter of fact, I think the scripture agrees with me as well. Psalms 33, verse 1, it says, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. I find it fascinating. It says it's fitting for the pure to praise him. If you're seeking purity in your life, it sounds to me like praising God is definitely the direction to go to maintain purity in your life. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. I never really thought of it this way. Do you realize when you're praising God, you're actually singing out an anthem of your loyalty to him? It's a way of us expressing to God, God, we're with you. You are our God, and we are your people. That's what we do when we praise him. I encourage you, I think sometimes when you're new to worshiping in this way with song, you might not feel totally comfortable with it, but I encourage you, when you come to a time of worship to God, let everything else fade into the background. Let everything else disappear, and let God be your focus. And let the words that you sing or the music that you play, let it be an offering to God, a sacrifice to him. I guarantee it'll change the way you feel about worship. If worshiping together as a body of believers has never really struck a chord with you, I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to let everything else fade away and just allow God to be the focus. And I think that you'll look at worship differently. And I think you'll find that becomes a very important part of maintaining that core temperature. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. It says, hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. I think it's pretty clear here that in order for us to maintain that core spiritual temperature, we need to communicate with God. We've got to be in communication with God. In fact, if we are to maintain a vibrant, growing relationship with God, there must be constant communication with him. Now, why didn't I just say we need to pray? I think for some of us, and maybe for most of us, prayer is something that you recite, or it's something that you say, it's something that you do. It's kind of like the official thing, that way that we express ourselves to God. I don't know. For many of us, I think that prayer maybe has its limitations. And maybe it's limited to before you eat your food, or maybe it's limited to before you go on a trip, before you go to sleep, or you know, we have certain times in our day or in our life when we go to Lord in prayer, and maybe it's a time when there's a tragedy in your life. But I don't believe that that's the kind of prayer that God is talking about here. I don't believe going to God and saying, Lord, here's my prayer. I don't necessarily think that that is what God is talking about. I think that God is talking about a constant two-way communication with him. In other words, a prayer, an extended prayer, that doesn't start out with dear Jesus or dear Lord and doesn't end with amen. Does that make sense? It's a prayer that is constantly going back and forth between you and God. You're talking to God. God is talking to you. I think that's what we're talking about this morning. And I think that that is so, so valuable in our relationship with God. I've actually walked into a room that I thought was empty because it was completely quiet. And I walk into the room and there's actually five people sitting in the room. And they're all sitting there like this. They got their phones out, and they could be talking to each other. I don't know. But there's five people in the room, and no one is communicating with the people in the room. I think sometimes we come before God, and we're in the presence of God, and maybe that's kind of how we treat God. Maybe our prayers are more of a text message and less of a conversation. Maybe when God is wanting us to look him in the eye, we're looking down. I think if we're going to have a kind of communication that's open and that's constant and that's ongoing, it needs to be something that's always at the forefront of our mind. Even when we're doing something, our conversation with God, I believe, should never end. I really think that's the only way to make sense of this. Look what it says in Philippians 4:6. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything," which kind of makes me believe that maybe worry is the opposite of prayer. Because when we worry, we stress out. There's emotion that's involved. There's energy that's expended. There's an inward focus. And with prayer, I believe there's an outward focus. We're not focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on our Creator. And God is encouraging us. Instead of sitting there and allowing those worries to crush in on you, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Psalms 116:2 says, "Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath." I love the metaphor here of God bending down to listen. I kind of get this is just my head probably, but have you ever talked to someone that maybe is a little hard of hearing and you say something and then they kind of like are really kind of lean into you so they can hear what you're saying? And when someone does that, to me it's not annoying. It's not like, you know, oh man, I don't want to repeat myself. I actually kind of feel a little more connected with that person because we're a little bit closer and I feel like they're interested. Well, what about when someone calls your name, or when you call someone's name and they kind of lean in a little bit so they can hear what you have to say? They take a step forward. They're just a little bit closer to you so that that communication is there. I get that idea that God is constantly bending in and constantly taking that step forward. And many times when he's right there, we're not speaking. We're not communicating. I challenge you to make your communication with God. And if it helps to not think of it as prayer, but to think of it as a conversation, I think that we need to do that. If that helps you talk to God in a way that's natural and in a way that is real communication, think of it as a conversation. When I started a guys' small group, when I first started, I loved the time with these kids because it was like their first real experience with prayer. And, you know, they were used to talking to each other, but talking to God, you know, that was like a whole new concept. And so we'd kind of sit around in a circle and share prayer requests, and I would hear prayers like this. God, it's me, John. And there was something so innocent and so conversational about that. And then I think as we grow and as we mature in our Christian faith, our prayers become more formal. It's more Father in heaven kind of stuff. Does that make sense? And maybe because the Lord's Prayer is sounds like a real formal prayer, but you got to understand that the Lord's Prayer probably was not a formal prayer when Jesus was communicating it with his disciples. That's just how the translation comes across to us. The thoughts that God, if you were here during our series on the Lord's Prayer, man, that was a powerful series. I mean, we talked about that as being a conversation and a pattern more than something that you recite. If your prayer before God is something that you recite, I'm sorry, but you're not having a conversation with God. That conversation, that communication with God has to be constant. It has to be ongoing. It has to be a regular part of your life. I mean, as natural it is to talk to your best friend or your closest friend, that's how that conversation needs to go. Been a few times in ministry where I've heard people swear while they're praying. I wasn't offended by it. The first time I heard it, I was like, "That something didn't feel right about that." But then I thought, you know, this person's like really express. This is how they talk. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I don't think you should be cussing God out. But there's something about expressing raw emotion before a God who understands raw emotion, before a God who's lived in this flesh and has experienced all that we experience. I encourage you to have those conversations with God where you can really talk to God about the deepest feelings and hurts, maybe even anger, whatever it is. I believe an angry conversation with God is better than no conversation with God. What am I getting at? This needs to be a constant discussion between you and God, a constant conversation. And I think that's important to maintaining your spiritual core temperature. Look at verse 11. David says, or the psalmist says, "Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path." I believe if we're going to maintain that core temperature, we are going to confidently follow God's leading. We're going to confidently follow God's leading. And I believe in order to be led, we must purposely and regularly expose ourselves to biblical instruction, whether that comes with our own personal time in God's Word, or whether that means we're listening to somebody else communicate the truths of God's Word. Do you ever just listen to messages or sermons on maybe on the internet, or are you listening to podcasts? I encourage you to do that. If you're not doing that, I encourage you to find someone that you enjoy listening to and really teaches the truths of God's Word, and just make that a part of your week. Receiving that kind of instruction from God, that biblical instruction, where you're constantly filling yourself with the truth of God's Word. And really, it's pretty effortless to just listen to something, especially if you're driving around in your car or you're sitting somewhere. You know, you might spend an hour with your headphones on and listen to, I don't know how many songs, 20 or 30 songs. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of value to spending time just hearing from God. It's pretty fascinating. In verse 11, it says, "Lead me along the right path." The word that's translated right is in Hebrew the word mishor. And the word means plain, singular, undivided. Think about that. If you tell God, "God, lead me along an undivided path." In other words, "God, lead me down a path without distractions. Lead me down a path where there's no fork in the road. God, lead me on a path that is straight and that is clear and that is direct. Not a path that's divided and might take me off somewhere that where I don't need to be." I believe a person who follows God's leading is focused and free from multiple aims that break up direction in life. How many times have you started on a project and you got distracted by something else that was less important, and you spend more time doing that, and then you never get back to your project? Have you done that before? I just described my week. That happens to me all the time. I get started on something that's important and valuable to me, and I get sidetracked, and I go off on this other thing, and then there's another tangent I go off on. And before long, it's like I have to work my way back to my original purpose and my original place where I was supposed to be. What would it mean for God to lead you on a plain path, a path that's undivided? How different would your life look if the path that God was leading you on was just honoring him and not full of twists and turns and exits? Psalms 86, verse 11. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Being exposed to regular teaching from God's word or regular truth from God's word, if that's something that's happening all the time in your life, I believe your path is going to be undivided because you're constantly receiving guidance. Psalms 119, which, by the way, here we have the longest chapter in the Bible, but also this entire chapter devoted to describing the truth of God's word, the usefulness of God's word, the purity of God's word. It's like a character description of God's word. I encourage you to spend some time in Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 10 says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. How are you going to keep from straying from God's commands? By going back to it. By keep refreshing yourself. Have you ever been on a trip and you looked at the map once and you keep going and then you're kind of just guessing from there on out, maybe going off of memory? That's why it's great to have someone with you that's a navigator. My wife's awesome because she doesn't need a map. She's got that Debbie positioning satellite. She knows right where she's at all the time. She sees the world as like a grid for her, and she knows exactly where she is on that grid. I need someone like that because I get lost in my backyard. So this whole idea of confidently following God's leading, what does it mean to confidently follow God's leading? It means you're not just, you know, testing the water. You're not just putting one toe in, but you're stepping out. You're jumping out. You're saying, God, I trust you. I fully trust you that this path is going to be straight and it's going to be undivided. I think if we're doing these things, we're going to be able to maintain that spiritual temperature. And it's all about not changing with the things around you that are changing. And I'm not talking about styles, but I'm talking about the things that would draw you away from God, because those temptations are constantly changing. And every time they change, they become a little more clever, a little more subtle, a little more difficult to resist. But if we're going to maintain that core temperature, I believe we're going to have to spend time in the presence of God. We're going to have to purpose to spend time in the presence of God. We're going to have to regularly and often express our praise to God. That conversation with God has to be continual. A constant discussion between you and God. And then I believe that we need to follow God's leading with confidence. God says that path I have for you is undivided. You can step out onto it with confidence. Let's pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.